Coming up on today's episode, the 53-man roster is officially set. The Miami Dolphins have officially made their cuts. A lot of people gone, a lot of surprising names. I saw a lot of fans just so surprised with a couple of the names out there. Hear my thoughts and reactions to the entire 53-man roster as we go through it one by one here. I give you guys my take, what I think about it, who I think should have made the team, who am I surprised should have been out, all of that stuff. And then we talk about the addition of Trey Flowers, what he can bring to the team as well. And then how about talking about the Miami Dolphins ending their preseason in a great, great fashion with an ass kicking. You saw Tua to Tyreek Hill connection. You saw Skylar Thompson do big things. Elijah Campbell with that pick six. And a lot of great things to talk about. Miami Dolphins ending this preseason in just the way every single fan would love to see it. Just something to motivate us, something to get us going, something to get us excited about. And Tua and Tyreek started that whole damn thing. I'm here to break down the entire game between the Eagles and the Dolphins for that preseason finale. And lots of great stuff to talk about. All that coming up on the Miami Sports Vibes podcast. First and foremost, I want to start off by telling you guys that the Miami Sports Vibes podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code Miami at manscaped.com. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, guys. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 4K LED spotlight you need for a more precise shave. That's right, because this trimmer is waterproof, you can say goodbye to the mess on that bathroom floor. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Miami at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Miami, M-I-A-M-I. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Welcome to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast on this Wednesday morning. Hope you are all doing well. And what can I say? The Miami Dolphins have ended the preseason in just the fashion that you wanted to see this team finish. And that is with a convincing W with stat lines through the roof. I mean, when you talk about the performances of Tua, the performances of Tyreek Hill, Skylar Thompson, Teddy Bridgewater, the defense, everything. I mean, playing great on all three phases, that's exactly what the Miami Dolphins were able to finish this preseason with. And that has us literally ready to go come week one. But unfortunately, we have this extra bye week here to just prepare for New England. Not unfortunate for the players, but unfortunate for the fans because, you know, we're in this groove now. We're watching preseason football for 3 weeks. You know, we're just dying for the NFL to start. We got to scale it back for a week. But luckily for you guys, podcasts are still coming out. Fantasy football leagues are being done, I'm pretty sure, throughout this entire week. So I'm sure that we'll be just fine. I myself have 3 drafts this week, and that'll be it for me because anything more than 3 is just way too much. I mean, I was going to do 2, but got convinced to do a third one. The third one's actually a dynasty league, which I am super excited about. However, we got Dolphins news to talk about. The big news for today, before I talk about the entire game against the Eagles, give you guys my thoughts on how people played, how Tua played, Tua to Tyreek, that big play as well. We got to talk about the big news that is taking place here today. What is freshly on our plates here when we talk about the Miami Dolphins, and that is the roster being officially cut to 53. What a preseason it was. I mean, a lot of guys that balled out, a lot of surprises here. From my perspective, at least, I know a couple people probably agree with the 53. I wouldn't say I disagree, but I understand the 53. And I'm going to talk about the entire 53-man roster here. I'm going to read it off to you just in case, you know, you guys don't know. You guys know some people that were cut, some people who's in, who's out. Luckily for you, I got you covered here. So let's just react to the 53 altogether. So here it goes. It goes as is. The 53-man roster for your Miami Dolphins reads at this. At quarterback, we got Tua, the man himself, QB1, Teddy Bridgewater, and Skylar Thompson. Honestly, there was a lot of talks going around. Do you keep Skylar Thompson? Do you let him walk? I mean, you already have a backup. Are you really going to have three quarterbacks? My take on this was, listen to me. I absolutely am not down to let go of Skylar Thompson. I mean, what he's shown over the preseason and the joint practices and the entire training camp was just nothing but unbelievable. I mean, the kid stepped up in games, he delivered time and time again, and he wowed all the reporters from what I heard, and including the coaches. I mean, obviously, if you make the 53-man roster, you impress the damn hell of the coaches as well. So he impressed me. He impressed a lot of Dolphin fans that I was talking to. So I absolutely thought it was very crucial to keep Skylar Thompson. I did not want to see this guy walk away, go to another team, and go off. I mean, a lot of people compare it to Reed Sinnett, right? Reed Sinnett had a great preseason last season. He was the real deal, had some nice flashes. You didn't want to lose him and go to another team. I was okay with Reed Sinnett leaving, okay? Was he fun? Hell yeah. But I don't know. I kind of see a little bit of a difference here in the Skylar Thompson kid. I might be, listen, overrating him. Say, you know, that's your opinion. But my opinion is I think this guy's good. And to me, I think he's better than Teddy Bridgewater. So I was thinking about it as, you know, screw him at QB3. I think that's QB2. Now you're paying Teddy big money for 1 year, so you can't necessarily do that. However, my opinion is, or my thought process would be, if you can get a trade for Teddy Bridgewater. Let's say some desperate team comes calling that their quarterback got hurt and they're offering you, let's say, a fourth or fifth round pick. Preferably, I would take a fourth in a heartbeat. But let's just say maybe, you know, maybe a fifth. I would take that shit. You know, I would like a fourth at best. But if a team is offering me a fifth round pick, I'm literally okay with giving up Teddy knowing that you have Skylar Thompson as a backup quarterback. I think he's shown that he has what it takes to get the job done. Can he be a full-time starter in this league? I don't know. I think there's still a lot of development there that needs to be done. But I think from what we've seen so far from this young kid, he looks like he's a guy that he can be able to come in when need be and fill in a spot, whether it's a 1 week, a 2 week thing, something in a small spurt. I like that. But I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is ass. I think Teddy Bridgewater brings a lot of things outside of just playing the game of football. Okay, I heard he's a great locker room guy, a great mentor, a leader. He's been here before. A lot of great traits from Teddy Bridgewater that I think Tua is going to benefit from, no doubt about it. But if you can hold on to Teddy, let's say till right before the trade deadline and then get rid of him, I think that will be enough time for Tua to pick Teddy's brain as much as he can. And we know what Teddy is. Skylar has upside, and I'm rolling with upside, especially if you know your QB1 is set. Now, obviously, injuries can happen, of course, but you can't think like that, all right? You have to just know that injuries can happen, but you can't make a decision based on something that might happen. Like, that's not good. I think the smart thing to do is literally what I said. Try to wait for a team to get desperate at the deadline. Trade Teddy Bridgewater for a fifth round pick. If the deal is not there, you keep Teddy. Everything is fine. Don't worry about it. We worry about this next season. But I think Skylar Thompson added to this team. I love the move here. I love the fact that we're keeping three quarterbacks. I like the fact that we did not let that man go. I think he's earned it. And I'm excited. I'm excited for his future. Obviously, I don't think he'll get much playing time because of the two quarterbacks ahead of him. But I really, really think big things are coming his way in the future. Now, a lot of that depends on how Tua does as well, but nice to see Skylar stay. So let's talk about the running backs here. Now, this is Mike McDaniel's specialty, right? He's a former run game specialist. This guy knows all about the run, has crazy designs. You know, you hear about it. You hear the news. This is not nothing new to any football fan and anybody who's done their deep research on Mike McDaniel. We kept four running backs. Sony Michel, cut. Jared Doakes, cut. That surprises many. You know, we added Sony Michel. We signed him. A lot of people thought he was going to end up making the team. I personally did not know what to think of it. I didn't know if I should get too high or too low when it comes to Sony Michel. I'm not that high on him, okay? I don't think he's that good. Jared Doakes, that's a guy who I thought was really, really going to be a factor when it comes to goal line work, when it comes to things like that. I think he might be able to go to practice squad. I guess we'll see about that. I believe today we'll be able to sign, is it 16 players on practice squad? So expect to see a lot of guys back. But when it comes to the official 53-man roster, it does not include Sonny Michel and it does not include Jared Doakes. But Savon Ahmed made it. I love Savon Ahmed, man. He is fast as hell. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. And I think there is a lot of potential in this offense for Savon Ahmed. Although, he's going to be playing behind everybody else. Now, I just think Savon Ahmed will have a big role if there's an injury. But your main guys, Raheem Mostert, who's probably going to be the lead back. Chase Edmonds, who's going to get a heavy dose of play calls and from a pass-catching standpoint as well. And Miles Gaskin, surprisingly, surprised the hell out of me, made the team. He had a nice little solid last game of the preseason. I think that had something to do with it. His speed, obviously, is awesome. But, you know, there's a lot of flaws in Gaskin's game. But if you're talking about him as your RB3, it ain't that bad. It ain't that bad. I mean, we were relying on this guy to be an RB1 and an RB2 for quite some time. So sliding him to RB3 might not be a bad idea. Alec Ingold, of course, he gets a spot in the fullback. There's no surprise there. I mean, you know how Mike McDaniel is when it comes to his fullbacks. No surprise there. Tight ends, we kept five. That's right. We kept five. Seathan Carter is one. I believe that's going to be a special team guy. Tanner Connor making one. He had a strong ass training camp, and he is a solid, solid piece. I did not think he was going to make the team. I'm not going to lie to you guys, but hey, Tanner Connor has honestly deserved it. Mike Gesicki is here, of course. Hunter Long made the team, and Durham Smythe. Okay, five tight ends. I'm going to let you know why I'm okay with that. Wide receivers, here we go. Everybody's been dying. Who is going to be the wide receivers? Are we picking six? Are we picking seven? All right, probably six. Lynn Bowden Jr. has had a strong preseason. He has had all the adversity in the world, and this man continues to perform, continues to work hard. A lot of people wanted Lynn Bowden Jr. to make this team, but unfortunately, he did not. I thought River Craycraft was going to make the team. He did not. Boy, was I wrong. Preston Williams as well. They were looking for trades, couldn't find one. He ended up being cut. And the wide receivers reads off as this. Eric Azukama, the rookie himself, who's had a sensational preseason. Tyreek Hill, of course, no surprise there. Trent Sherfield, no surprise there. He's the guy that Mike McDaniel really likes and relies upon. So Sherfield gets the nod. Jaylen Waddle, of course, no surprise. And then Cedric Wilson, our offseason pickup from the Dallas Cowboys, makes the team. That leaves us with five wide receivers. But in my opinion, I think this is okay, all right? I know a lot of people are upset because Lynn Bowden Jr., they're big fans of his. But listen, I mean, what has he really done? You know, durability has been an issue. Availability, you name it. There's been a lot of flaws in Lynn Bowden's game. He's had opportunities here in South Florida to get it done, and he has not. Are we really going to be stressing and complaining about Lynn Bowden Jr. not making the team? I mean, come on now. This guy's wide receiver six at the end of the day, if he were to make the team. We're not going to be relying on that guy much. Now you can make the argument, what about special teams? Who's going to be returning punts? Who's going to be returning kicks? You know, you don't want to have Jaylen Waddle out there and Tyreek Hill out there because those are your top guys. You don't want them taking those hits unless it's situational. You know, you're down a touchdown. You need to score in a situation. You put them out there. That I understand. I understand that argument for sure because Lynn Bowden can return punts and things like that. But to me, I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. I see the vision here. Five wide receivers while also keeping five tight ends shows me that Mike Gesicki is best utilized as what? A pass catcher, right? A wide receiver, right? Mike McDaniel's offense needs blocking. Mike Gesicki cannot block. All right? Hunter Long's got it. Tanner Connor's got it. Durham Smythe's got it. So feature those to be the tight ends and think of Mike Gesicki as that number six wide receiver and probably obviously being the third best pass catcher in the team. That's how I think about it. And everybody has said, what's been going on with Mike Gesicki? What's been the deal? I've told you guys, I would not be surprised if there's a Mike Gesicki package in this offense that we have yet to be seen because Mike McDaniel has this in his bag. That's my opinion. stay tuned. I think we're going to see a heavy, heavy dose of Mike Gesicki included in this offense. So stay tuned for that. That might be a little final stone there for Thanos. That's just my opinion. So I'm all good on Lynn Bowden being out. If you're worried about the punt returning things, the kick return, I think Igbinoghene has potential to be a good kick returner. He does not give us anything else. So please, I mean, make this first round pick be worth something. Put him out there in kick returns. I'm sure he can do it. I've seen him do it before. And let him try to find his niche somewhere else. As far as punt returns, I'm comfortable putting Tyreek Hill out there. I mean, he's a veteran. He knows what to do. He knows how to go down when he needs to. He knows when to go out of bounds. I trust his body. This guy's work ethic is unbelievable. I'm more concerned throwing a Jalen Waddle out there, who I feel like is easier to get injured, although he's so special returning punts. But I'm comfortable with Tyreek Hill out there unless we figure something out. That's just for the meantime. And then as far as kick return goes, I would throw Igbo out there. I know Raheem Mostert can do it as well, but yeah, that injury history scares me. But I'm sure Mike McDaniel has a plan. I mean, hey, he's the head coach at the end of the day. We got to trust him. We got to believe in him until he proves us otherwise. Here are the offensive linemen. Teron Armstead is one. Michael Dieter. Liam Eichenberg. Robert Hunt. Austin Jackson. Robert Jones. Greg Little. And Connor Williams. So Larnell Coleman and Solomon Kinley are the odd mans out. No surprise there. As far as Larnell Coleman go, I expected that. But Solomon Kinley, I thought, had a really, really nice little camp. I thought he had a nice camp. I thought he showed some flashes in there. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. But I like that you know, if you think about it, you got your starters here. You know, Dieter is a good backup center. Robert Jones is reliable, and Greg Little as well. I understand. I understand with these eight offensive linemen. So no problem there. Shout out to Solomon Kinley, though. I mean, he did put some good performances together. And I thought that big boy was not going to get it together. But shout out to him. Maybe he makes the practice squad. We shall see. As far as defensive linemen go, here we go. Raekwon Davis, my boy. John Jenkins, Emmanuel Ogba, Zach Sealer. My guy, Zach Sealer, man, he's been freaking awesome. And Christian Wilkins, playing on a big year, wants that money. Expect him to have a big-ass year. I truly expect it. High-energy Christian Wilkins, I think he's going to get after. I think he's going to have a big, big year. Nine linebackers were kept here. Jerome Baker, Sam Egwuavon, Trey Flowers, who was newly added to this team. Trey Flowers from the Detroit Lions. We'll talk about him in just a second when I'm done with this. Jalen Phillips, Duke Riley, well-deserved. Landon Roberts, well-deserved. Channing Tindall, the rookie. Andrew Van Ginkel, AVG, who has been just improving year after year. Duke Riley, honestly, love the fact that he made the team. He's really, really shown to just provide that good depth back there that you need in the linebacker position. Cornerbacks, five were kept here. One is on the PUP. That is Byron Jones, who will be out for 4 weeks, possibly returning in week five. That's a huge blow for us. But we're keeping Xavien Howard, of course. We got Kader Kohou. I believe that's how you say that. I hope I'm saying it right. Sorry if I botched that name. Keon Crossan. Nick Needham and Noah Igbinoghene are your cornerbacks with Byron Jones, like I said, out for 4 weeks. That's a huge freaking blow for us. I mean, I've been talking about this since the beginning of camp. I mean, part of the things that concerned me in this team was the DBs. I mean, when you look at the depth, like if Byron Jones is out, if Xavien Howard's out, where do you go? Nick Needham has struggled throughout camp, has shown a couple flashes here and there, but not to the ability that we know that Nick Needham can get to. That's concerning to me. Who emerged? Trill Williams. What happened to Trill Williams? Tore his ACL, out for the year. There goes that. How about another guy? We sign Mackenzie Alexander. Signed him as a cornerback. Comes here. Bam. Out for the year. He goes on IR. So the bad news from a DB standpoint for the Miami Dolphins just continue and continue. And that's alarming to me. I mean, because you know, you want to be able to lock things down. Yes, I like the entire defense as a whole when they have to stay healthy. But when you talk about this defense from a depth standpoint, there's a lot of things I'm not too comfortable about. And cornerbacks is especially like one of the highest, like, please. It gives me nightmares just knowing that we're going to have to rely on Noah Igbinoghene. But hey, you're a former first round pick. You're a pick 30th overall. We believed in you to take you in the first round. I mean, we passed on Jonathan Taylor. We passed on all these great running backs to get you. Players say, hey, all I want is an opportunity. All I want is a fair chance. Well, Noah, you've had your chance, and you have not succeeded. There's no excuse now. You are going to have the opportunity to make a name for yourself. If Noah Igbinoghene does not show up and does not hold his own throughout these four games that Byron Jones is missing, he's got to go. I mean, that's it. Like, I'm completely done. I mean, you've heard all the rumors about even he's not even good in practice. I've heard those rumors before. Here it is. Clean slate. I'm going to treat you with a clean slate from here on out. I promise you. My analysis on you will start week one. I will give you a clean slate, Noah. Please, please hold your own. Show me why you deserve to be on this team. Show me why the Miami Dolphins picked you first round. Show the entire fan base. They're all pulling for you. They all believe in you. I remember I had a poll last year. I said, who do you guys think is going to be the breakout player of this season? This was last year. So many people picked Noah Igbinoghene. There's a strong fan base, a strong part of the fan base that honestly believes in this man. He's got to get it done. You got the opportunity here, kid. Hopefully he does his thing. Do I believe in it? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't, but by God, just prove me wrong, Noah. Prove me the hell wrong. Prove so many people wrong and get it done, baby. Let's see how it goes. So that's the depth from the cornerback positions. Safeties. Elijah Campbell, who had a nice pick six to end off his preseason. Clayton and Javon Holland, Brandon Jones, and Eric Rowe make the safeties. No problem with none of those five right there. Our punter, obviously, Thomas Morstead, and our kicker, Jason Sanders, and our long snapper, Miami Dolphins legend, Blake Ferguson, rounds out the 53-man roster. And there you have it. Honestly, a couple surprises. The surprises are Sony Michel, of course, Lynn Bowden Jr., another one, and Craig Kraft as well. Those were the three that surprised me the most. And then obviously noteworthy was Skylar Thompson making the team because there was a lot of buzz. Do you keep him? Do you not keep him? But yes, I mentioned we also had an outside linebacker. We had just picked him up. Trey Flowers, outside linebacker. He played 6 years in the league. Former NFL champion with the New England Patriots. He played 3 years with Detroit and 3 years with the Pats to start his career. Listen, it's a veteran leader, which you cannot get enough of, all right? He's 29 years old. He's not too old, but he's been in this league, and he's a champion. 265 pounds, 6'2". Also, first 4 years of the NFL, all right? I think this is noteworthy. These numbers have dropped. He's played six total, but the first 4 years, he had 7 sacks, followed by 6.5, followed by 7.5, and followed by 7. The last 2 years, not so good, but he has done it before. He can do this. And I think it improves your team because you have more depth from a linebacker position. Depth is very, very important over the course of a regular season. It cannot be like, you can't sleep on that. Depth is so, so, so important. So that's a news worth talking about. Also, a couple surprises. Alec Lindstrom, he was cut by Dallas. I mean, that surprised the hell out of me. So he's in waivers. He's out there. I believe the Dolphins are not. I think they're middle of the pack in the NFL when it comes to waivers. But if it is possible for them to get him and he is available for them, I would absolutely pounce on that, especially when you look at the struggles that we've had from a center position. Even though Connor Williams has figured some stuff out from what I've heard, don't get me wrong, but you know centers are hard to come by. I mean, if he goes down, you're trusting Dieter. Do you trust Dieter? Like, nonetheless, if you can get a guy like Alec Lindstrom in here, I'm absolutely pouncing on that. Raekwon Smith, a deal has not been figured out yet. He is still a Chicago Bear, and I don't think the Dolphins are going to get him. But if they do, that would be something nice. So I did want to give a little quick little update on that. And there you have it. That's the 53-man roster. I would definitely like to know what your thoughts are, if you agree with that. I know a lot of people are upset Lynn Bowden Jr. didn't make it, but man, he's had the opportunity, and it's been a joy to watch him, honestly, these past couple weeks in the preseason. It's been an absolute joy to watch him kind of kick up, you know, and face the adversity and just overcome it. And, you know, putting up some touchdowns throughout the preseason. I think he had a really, really solid preseason. And shout out to Lynn Bowden, man. I hope he gets an opportunity somewhere. I think he absolutely deserves it. But let's talk about this preseason game. I mean, let's talk about it. The final preseason game, Boy, was it awesome. I mean, Eagles, Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium. First and foremost, the crowd there was awesome. They were on point. And we finally got to see Tua Tagovailoa play in the preseason, which is something that we've all been desperate to see. Obviously, we saw him last week, don't get me wrong, but you wanted to see him for a long, extensive period amount of time, and that we got to see. Played the entire first quarter, and the dude was awesome. I mean, right away, how about that first freaking play? I mean, wasted no damn time throwing it up to Tyreek Hill for a 51-yard reception. Very first play. You gotta love that. I mean, you gotta love that, right? This guy literally, he knows what everyone's talking about. He knows what everyone wants to see. You know you got the cheetah. And you just go out there, first play of the game, and said, toma. Like, here you go. I'm here. This is what you're about to see. Like, here is a little taste of what you're about to see. Now I'm going to go close the bag back up and just do my things. That's exactly what I got from Tua and Tyreek. Next play after that connects with him again for another nice chunk of yardage. Oh, I think it was a first down. I think it was 13 yards, if I'm not mistaken. Beautiful throws by Tua. I mean, it was like three plays and he already got downfield for a touchdown. Yes, a touchdown. Followed up with a nice, nice, beautiful touchdown to Craycraft. Beautiful job going to his left. That left arm looked great right there. Put it right in the breadbasket where only he can get it. Man, awesome. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome first drive by the Miami Dolphins offense and Tua Tagovailoa playing out there. Tyreek Hill getting busy. I mean, nothing but great vibes just watching him go to work. It was great to see. Tua ended up finishing his night 6 for 7 with 121 yards. That's right. 6 completions only got him 121 yards. So 6 for 7, 121, one touchdown. He did get sacked one time because Austin Jackson on his blind side, of course, let Tua get rocked, which you hate to see in the preseason. I'm just so damn happy he was okay. Freaking Austin Jackson. I mean, get it together. I mean, I've been praising you on this podcast for having a solid preseason, and then you give up a sack, and then Tua's out there. Listen, it's the preseason, man. If you got to hold the damn guy and get a penalty, you better hold his ass. Like, God damn, that pissed me off. Sorry. You see, we're days later, and I'm still damn pissed off about that damn Austin Jackson. Anyways, in other news, Teddy Bridgewater came in afterwards. Before that, the defense. I mean, great job. Great job. I mean, forcing a turnover on downs on your first defensive possession. Jalen Phillips was all over the place, putting pressure on everybody out there. He looked great. Raheem Mostert, got to give him love. Had a nice run out there. Really, really nice to see the speed. He turned up the Jets when he ran to the right side. Love to see that. His night was done early. He only had 2 carries for 29 yards. But that 26-yard run that he had was awesome. Not going to lie. In other news, Gaskin. I thought he had some nice runs. He had 6 carries for 39 yards, including a nice 16-yard run, which I thought was great. He finishing averaging 6.5 yards per carry. Jared Doakes, he had 11 carries for 67 yards. Unfortunately, like I said, did not make the team, maybe practice squad. Teddy Bridgewater came in afterwards. I did not like the performance from Teddy. I mean, he was 4 for 10 for 74 yards. I was ready. Once I saw Teddy, I said, can we just skip this part? Can we just put Skylar Thompson in the damn game? And they did. And guess what he did? 7 for 10, 103 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's right, 3 touchdowns. This guy plays and just delivers every single time. I mean, I cannot stop talking about this Skylar Thompson kid. I mean, it's awesome what he's been able to do. I mean, he had Hunter Long on a touchdown pass. He found Lynn Bowden Jr. for a touchdown pass. I mean, the dude literally was just firing darts out there. And then he also found Seathan Carter for a touchdown as well. So shout out to Skylar Thompson. He finished 7 for 10, like I said, 103 yards and 3 touchdowns. And other news, Tyreek Hill finished his night, 2 receptions for 64 yards, including that big 51-yard play. Caught both of his targets. Craycraft finished with 4 receptions for 54 yards and a touchdown. Really thought he was going to make the team. Lynn Bowden Jr. had a touchdown, 1 reception for 39 yards. Savon Ahmed, 1 reception for 28 yards. Love to see that. Hunter Long, 2 receptions for 24 and a touchdown. Nice, solid game. Eric Azukama was targeted 4 times, catching 2 of those for 24 yards. Wanted to see him get a little bit more busy, but we didn't get to see too much of him. Mike Gesicki had his one target and caught it as well. One reception for 18 yards, and Cedric Wilson as well. One target, one catch, 16 yards. Very solid. Elijah Campbell had a pick six throughout this game. He ended up making the team. Love to see that. Really nice pick six from him. And his determination to get to the end zone. Absolutely love to see that. So those were the things that I thought were noteworthy. Like I said, that Tua to Tyreek Hill connection definitely got me freaking excited as hell for week one of the NFL season. The 53-man roster, like I said, and really like the vision if what I think is going to happen with Mike Gesicki happens. I like the game from Savon Ahmed. Austin Jackson, my man, I'm still pissed at you. Tua was solid. Skyler was solid. Elijah Campbell, like I said. And Jalen Phillips, man. I mean, Jalen Phillips had constant pressure throughout this game. Absolutely love to see it. And that's it. That wrapped up the preseason. I mean, what better way to finish the preseason than a convincing win, like I said earlier? I mean, come on now. I looked at that score and I said, 48? Listen, I don't care if it's preseason or not. 48-10 is a fucking ass kicking. So shout out to the Miami Dolphins and shout out to all the Eagle fans that think they could fuck with us because they really can't. however, like I said, we do have this bye week here before we kick off the NFL season. So best believe there is still things to talk about next week on the podcast. I'm going to be doing a game preview, see how what my predictions are as well. What are the keys to victory? Who are the X factors? Just like we used to do last season. You will also get NFL predictions this time starting from week one of the NFL season. Remember, I had a crazy, crazy good record. And then I'm also going to be doing the picks against the spread, which I also had a positive record at that. I started that midway, and I saw that a lot of people did really enjoy that. So I'm going to continue that. Hopefully make you guys some money, too, from a gambling perspective. I'll share with you probably my top three picks if I'm confident in them. If not, if it has to be two, or if it's just one, I'm not going to just throw picks out here to make you guys lose money. I mean, whatever I'm confident the most that could get you odds between, you know, minus 115 and or plus money. Like, I will never go and give you something that's like minus 150 or minus 140 or nothing like that. So stay tuned. This is going to be a fun NFL season. The preseason's officially wrapped up. It's time to flip the page, man. It's go time. It's time to root for those Dolphins. It's time to end this little playoff drought that we have. It's time to win a damn playoff game this year. It's time to get behind quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. It's time to get behind Coach Mike McDaniel. And for those of you that don't know my take on Tua, since I know that is a hot topic throughout this fan base, Tua is a very, very sensitive topic for most. I'm going to repeat this for new listeners because I know I have some new listeners out there, which you guys are awesome. I mean, welcome. Welcome you all. Love talking with you guys. Love you guys listening to me. This is a conversation at the end of the day. So just because you guys are not talking to me, just the fact that you're listening to me, this is still great. So great communication. Let me let you guys know my standpoint on Tua, okay? Here's how I feel about Tua. I am a guy that believes in Tua. I am a guy that wanted Tua since day one, okay? When the whole Justin Herbert thing came out, I was all tank for Tua. Give me Tua over everybody, to a point where I got pissed that Herbert's name was coming up, okay? I'll admit that. I will own that. Did I make a mistake? No, I think it's still out there for Tua to be good. All right, has Justin Herbert made it to the playoffs yet? Has Justin Herbert won a championship? No. So Tua can do those things. Now, right now, if you're going to tell me who's better, it's obviously Justin Herbert. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Listen, I'd be a fool if I could sit here and tell you that Tua's better than Justin Herbert right now. No, absolutely not. I mean, Justin Herbert is awesome. I mean, he is incredible. I mean, what he's been able to do so early and so fast in his career, even though people say, you know, he has Keenan Allen, he has this. Listen, he gets it done and he's delivered in big games. Now, has not made the playoffs, so there are flaws there. But Justin Herbert has had a way better career than Tua thus far. Now, jury's still out there. Things can change, but I got to admit that. However, I still wanted Tua. And I will ride by Tua. He is the quarterback of my favorite football team, so I am riding with Tua as long as he's a Miami Dolphin. First 2 years, I did not like what I saw, okay? Yes, there's glimpses. You see the glimpses. You see the potential of what he has, what he could be. His arm strength here and there. needs work. I think he's worked on that. I think he's gotten better. I think he's going to showcase that now that he has the weapons. Don't get me wrong. Because there's a couple big plays that he had there that were drops by Jakeem Grant, cough, cough, being one. Okay? So, but from what I've seen, Tua's pocket presence, his accuracy, his poise, humble, seems like a leader. He's working on leadership skills, but he seems like he has his head right in the right direction. Love that from your quarterback. So there's a lot of great things to like, but putting it all together, I just don't like how there were some games where he was unable to put the team on his back. Sometimes, even if you don't have the weapons you like, you still have enough to try to make things happen. I mean, and he has pressure. He's had pressure. He's had opportunities to step up and be that guy. Like, sometimes when you draft a quarterback first round, fifth overall, and you believe in him the way I do, I expected Tua to come big time in that Tennessee game. I expected Tua to come big time in that Buffalo game, not get smacked the way he did. These are things that these are just facts. You know, the Jets game late in the season, did we win that game? Yeah, but Tua could have played lights out, and he didn't. The Monday night game against the Saints, I thought Tua had an opportunity there to be big time. He was average. And that's the thing. He's been average, okay? I have to admit that. He's been nothing but average. And I think that he will turn the page and get better. I truly do believe that. But the fact is, to this point, he's been average. And we all know, to win in this league, you have to be better than average. However, that's where I stand. But I think this is the year. Year three, you have 2 years under your belt. You have weapons now. You have Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson, Jalen Waddle, which is his boy, and Mike Gesicki as well. Those are big-time playmakers that you have on the offensive end. Not to mention, you've added Raheem Mostert, who can run his ass off out of the backfield. So you have a running back which you can do your RPO stuff with. Chase Edmonds as well, another great running back who can also catch out of the backfield. You've added a Pro Bowl tackle in Teron Armstead. You've added Connor Williams, which is another offensive line help. You have the development of Robert Hunt out there in the offensive line. You have three good, reliable offensive linemen, at least with two others that have potential. Everything is literally right there for Tua. What else was the problem, right? Brian Flores not believing in him, right? The chemistry with Tua and Brian Flores was so shaky, everybody knows it. You get a guy like Mike McDaniel in, somebody who believes in Tua, somebody who wants Tua to be great, somebody who speaks so highly, and I believe it's so genuine when it comes out of his mouth when he's talking about Tua. Everything is in place for Tua to be a successful quarterback in this league. Roster, coaching, you name it. Years under his belt. He knows what to do, what not to do. He's learned from his mistakes. I think he has the ability to put it all together and become this amazing quarterback, which you drafted first round, fifth overall in this league to be. I think Tua has potential to be a top 10 quarterback in this league. And I think Tua will be a top 10 quarterback in this league. I believe in Tua. I think Tua is going to get it done. I think he's going to shut a lot of haters up. A lot of those haters who are also Dolphin fans. What are you doing? What are you doing? What do you get out of talking bad about Tua? What do you get out of that? Because I best believe on Sunday when Tua's lighting this shit up, y'all going to be fanboying in front of your TV like crazy, right? Listen, y'all better cop those Tua jerseys because them shit's going to sell out quick after this year. Best believe that. Believe that. Tua is coming in strong. Tua's going to be that guy. Tua is going to deliver. And Tua will be a top 10 quarterback in this league and will bring the Dolphins back to the playoffs and also get the Dolphins their first playoff win since 2000. Book it. Fins up. Tua time is live. All right, so that's a wrap. That wraps it up. Thank you so much to everybody for tuning into this podcast. Shout out to the Miami Dolphin fans who continue to show out at Hard Rock Stadium, packing that place out, making some noise. Shout out to you guys keeping it live on Facebook, Twitter, and all social media. I know we can't all wait till September 11th till it all goes live and we see our Miami Dolphins. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode, though. Hope you guys enjoyed my Tua take as well. Know a lot of Tua fans out there are probably going to be excited to hear that. And yeah, I really, really, truly believe everything I said on the podcast. If you guys disagree with it, hey, feel free to hit me up. Debating about sports is something I love to do, and my messages are open on all social media platforms. So please, I can respectfully debate. Always down for that. Hit me up. And if you're not following me on Twitter, those of you guys listening to me through who found me through Facebook, my Twitter handle is @sportsvibes305. So get at me there and hit me up any single time, Dolphin fans. But that wraps up today's episode. Looking forward for next week. We got another jam-packed show coming for you guys. And yeah, this is all. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast with Nando Diaz.